So I'm going to tell about physics of relativistic strongly magnetized jets. I think motivation is evident. I think I could skip all this blah 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 about relativistic jets from AGNs, GRBs, and so on. The ubiquity of relativistic jets implies some robust mechanism, and it's widely.
Can I ask you a question about there are non-relativistic jets also?
Yes. Yes.
Are they the same phenomenon or are they phenomenon
different? It depends. What I'm going to talk is specific properties of relativistic jets, and I explain what is especially difficult with these jets. I think they are more or less the same at the launching side, but they are absolutely different when we are talking about acceleration and climation. And I'm going to talk about far zone, so I assume that they are already formed, and what happens in the far zone. So, widely accepted view that the mechanism is that these jets are launched hydromagnetically. The main demand from this mechanism is to transfer large energy to small amount of plasma. Because a highly relativistic flow, the energy per gram is much larger than rest mass energy. And if any, because any energy release mechanism produces less than mc squared, in order to have a highly relativistic outflow, we need to transfer energy to some small amount of matter. And people think and agree that it is magnetic field which could be considered as a most natural driving belt that transfers energy to small amount of plasma from the central body. The basic mechanism is outlined here. This beautiful picture I have stolen from David Meyer's talk. It shows that physics is more or less the same. Central body, neutron star, or collapsing stellar core, or accretion disk, or black hole itself rotates and twists up magnetic field, just thus launching the outflow, and it is the rotational energy of the central body is the ultimate source of the energy. This energy is taken away in the form of, and transferred away in the form of the Poynting flux, because this rotating body twists up the magnetic field, creating strong toroidal magnetic field which transfers energy away. One can talk about Poynting flux in this case as just as the energy of the toroidal magnetic field transferred together with the flow as usual in MHD, because electric field in this case is determined by the velocity of the flow and magnetic field as in any MHD system. This is just condition of the ideal MHD that the flux is frozen, magnetic flux is frozen into the plasma. And this magnetic field has a form of spiral at large distance from the central body. It becomes very tight because pitch of this spiral is determined by the period, rotational period of the central body. And when the flow expands, it becomes dominated by the toroidal field. I return to this point later. So in this case, rotational energy is transferred to the Poynting flux. And if the magnetic energy density in the proper frame exceeds the proper plasma rest mass density, we obtain the flow which is Poynting dominated, so that Poynting flux exceeds the energy transferred by the plasma. And at least potentially such a flow could be accelerated to highly relativistic velocities if this electromagnetic energy is somehow transferred to the plasma. The basic question is how this could happen. What are conditions for the efficient energy transfer for the magnetic energy to the plasma? Direct mechanism is just MHD acceleration of the flow, and today I am going to talk only about this mechanism. Another option is dissipation of the magnetic field, but this is a separate story. what should I also add? Again, I think everybody met this parameter sigma, which is people use to describe such sort of flow, which is ratio of the poietic flux to the plasma energy flux. And when people talk about a poietic dominated flow, they sometimes talk about high sigma flows. The energy transfer is conveniently described in terms of this parameter sigma, which is initially assumed to be very high, and eventually we want it to decrease till unity or maybe less. Before proceed further, I have to say a few words about force balancing such sort of outflows. Generally, people say that the main force here is magnetic hoop strain. Because the system is dominated by the toroidal magnetic field, one sees that in the current which creates this magnetic field, the magnetic field exerts force of this current, which is directed towards the axis of the flow, and the magnetic field line tries to shrink. This is a well-known pinch effect. So therefore, at first glance, such a outflows dominated by the toroidal magnetic field immediately should immediately collimate toward the axis. However, generally this is not the case, because one has to consider the full structure of the currents. If current creating this toroidal magnetic field goes outside, somewhere in the equatorial zone it returns. And here magnetic field is decollimating. Therefore, the flow as a whole could not be collimated only by the internal magnetic forces. We need some external confinement in order to collimate the flow. In this case, MHD outflows has no advantage over the standard hydrodynamical outflows when we are talking about collimation. In any case, we need some external agent that collimates the flow. The real advantage of the MHD outflow is possibility of low mass loading, so that in this case relatively easy to achieve highly relativistic velocities.
Could you possibly achieve sacrificial collimation, where the inner part is collimated and the outer part is?
Yes. In principle, these considerations show that this central part of the axial part of the flow could be collimated, whereas outer part of the outflow could be decollimated. However, in the relativistic case, even this is very difficult, and I explain this a bit later. In non-relativistic case, yes, this is possible, and central part of the flow indeed collimates and even converges to the axis.
If the current returns in a sheet in the equator, then
it's it is a sheet in rather specific. Specifical case. Generally, it's not sheet. I am talking about general distribution. Even in the case of the sheet, only central part of the flow could feel the force directed toward the axis, because this force is transferred to the equatorial part of the flow. This flow should be supported by something.
It can push against itself in the other hemisphere.
In the axisymmetrical case, yes.
But it's not getting inward momentum, and it's, if you think about it, the momentum extends to the equator is vertical.
But J cross, why does it need external momentum? If it has J cross B, which is unbalanced. I thought the main point that it was balanced by the electric flow.
No, this is another point. This is for relativistic outflow. Therefore, I'm going to talk next slide maybe. But generally, even in non-relativistic case, you need some support from outside. I'm not so accurate. It's not a relativistic case. First of all, I think that the current decreases toward the equator. Therefore, this collimating force decreases. Therefore, it is in any case in order to collimate some fraction of the flow, you need to transfer somehow momentum aside. You need some support. Okay, let us return, because this is not so important for relativistic outflow, everything is cancelled. Okay, this is just to demonstrate that external confinement, which is necessary, naturally arises in the systems where people observe jets. In GRB, outflow is confined by the envelope of the progenitor star. In accreting system, jet from black hole and central part of the disk could be confined by the slow and generally magnetized wind from the outer part of the accretion disk. So some external confinement is not something artificial. The question is, what are conditions? At what condition this external confinement could produce highly collimated, highly relativistic outflows? And now, specific properties of the relativistic outflows. In relativistic case, one has to take into account electric force. Generally, in non-relativistic case, this term is small as v over c squared because electric field is determined by the velocity of the plasma. Therefore, our non-relativistic intuition could not work with this term. We generally could imagine tension exerted by the magnetic field lines, so we could talk about magnetic pressure, magnetic hoop stress. However, in the relativistic case, we have to take into account electric force, and in highly relativistic case, these two terms nearly cancel each other. I return to this point later. This is absolutely general property of highly relativistic outflows. And this dictates all the properties of these outflows, because in this case, all dynamics is determined by small residual. Even though hoop stress is huge, the acceleration and collimation rate is generally very slow because everything is determined by small residual, and simple estimates could not work because in this case we have to calculate carefully this small residual between these two terms. By this reason, acceleration and collimation, I will explain that these two processes are intimately connected. Acceleration and collimation are very slow, and the characteristic scale spans a very large range of scales. By this reason, it's very difficult to study such an outflow numerically, because as usual, many scale systems are very difficult for numerical simulation, especially in the case when in the equations, dominant terms nearly cancel each other. On the other hand, such sort of multi-scale system suit very well for asymptotic analysis, and therefore, that is the main topic of my talk. We'll try to explain the basic physics of these outflows in the far zone and present a typical characteristic scaling of describing this sort of outflows. Okay, first of all, few examples known for ages of relativistic MHD outflows. The first and the most important maybe example is pulsar wind. This is outflow which is not confined at all. And it is known for many years that such an outflow remains with very high accuracy radial, because in this outflow, the electric force and the magnetic force practically cancel each other. Moreover, acceleration is also rather inefficient in these non-confined flows. Flow is accelerated only to the maximal possible Lorentz factor in the power 1/3. Maximal Lorentz factor, throughout of my talk, is Lorentz factor achieved when poetic flux is totally converted into the kinetic energy. We assume that this number is very large, because we're interested in the poetic-dominated outflows. And if this number is very large, we see that in pulsar wind, terminal Lorentz factor is very small, even though it is relativistic wind, is very small as compared with the maximal Lorentz factor, so the flow remains poetic dominated till the infinity. In fact, it is accelerated, but very slowly, as logarithm of radius in the power 1/3, which is practically constant. This was the first example, and people found that magnetic energy, it's very difficult to transfer magnetic energy to the kinetic energy of the flow. This is a specific property of relativistic outflows. However, it does not mean that in any, that at no condition it is impossible. There are...
initial magnetization.
Yes, yes. This is in fact a Michael magnetization parameter. Yes, but for general audience, gamma max I think is better. This is maximal achievable Lorentz factor, large number. There is many, there is a set of self-similar solutions. As usual, when we try to solve complicated equation, we look for a self-similar solution. And people found many self-similar solutions, quite artificial, but describing outflow from something resembling disk, which is good, with some quite artificial distribution of the angular velocity, and found that in this case, flow is collimated and is accelerated until at least a equipartition at large scale, but at reasonably large scale. The important point that in all these solutions, total magnetic flux is infinite if radius of the disk goes to the infinity. Therefore, in all these cases, the flow, in fact, is confined by the poloidal magnetic field of the external part of the magnetic field. In any case, this general statement that we need confinement remains true, even though that here we have some external gas pressure, we have only a magnetic field, but poloidal field from the external part of the disk just work as an external confining medium. One more similar solution for the paraboloidal magnetic field lines, obtained initially by Blanford and for force-free flow and generalized by Beskin and Nohrin, not to take into account inertia. In this case also, total flux is infinite, flow is collimated, and eventually energy is transferred to the kinetic energy. So we have examples when energy is not transferred to the plasma and when energy is transferred to the plasma. It depends somehow on the confining pressure, but the question arises, what are conditions for such acceleration and collimation? What a condition on the confining pressure? What condition on the property of the outflow? What amplitude of the magnetic of the outer magnetic of outer pressure is necessary? What is extent of the acceleration zone is necessary in order to obtain highly collimated outflow? And what and how terminal Lorentz factor and terminal collimation angle depend on the parameters of the outflow and confining medium. Again, in order to find correct answer on this question, we have to take into account this property, which I already stressed a few times, that in this case, electric and magnetic forces nearly cancel each other. Therefore, acceleration and collimation are spatially very extended. And due to this property, one has to use asymptotic analysis in order to obtain characteristic scalings. I try to avoid equations and formal approach, but describe everything on finger physics level. But I need to introduce characteristic variables because the flow is totally described by the shape of the poloidal magnetic field line tubes. Each magnetic field line has the shape of the spiral. At large distance, it becomes very tight. And each spiral lies on its own magnetic surface. Plasma moves also along these surfaces because plasma is frozen into the magnetic field. At large distances, poloidal field, so field in this case vertical, decreases very rapidly as 1/radius² which comes just from the conservation of the magnetic flux, because poloidal field multiplied by surface, this is flux which remains constant. Toroidal field, this azimuthal field, decreases much slower, which could be found, for example, from the textbook formula for toroidal magnetic field as current over radius. Just geometrically, this spiral, the pitch of this spiral remains constant. It is determined by the period of rotation of the central body. However, the flow expands, and therefore the spiral becomes very tight, which means that toroidal field becomes much larger than poloidal field. This surface is also equipotential because plasma is ideal, so electric field along the magnetic field is zero. And the electric field is determined by the gradient of this potential, it is determined, it is directed normally to the magnetic surfaces, and this also decreases 1 over r as a, r as a distance between the magnetic surfaces. So we see that in the far zone, toroidal magnetic field and electric field significantly exceed poloidal magnetic field. This is general property of the outforce in the far zone. And at first glance, this means that one can neglect the influence of the poloidal field, which is not the case, because these two forces nearly cancel each other again. And we have to take into account even small forces. Flow along the magnetic field line is described just by conservation laws, just as any hydrodynamical flow along the tube with prescribed shape. This is conservation of the total energy. In our case, this is kinetic energy plus this term describes poietic flux, so that initially in the inlet of the flow, poietic flux dominate, kinetic energy is small, but eventually we are looking for a solution that this energy is transferred to the kinetic energy of the flow. But anyway, the total energy along any magnetic field line tube remains constant. So this is given function if we are if we consider the outflow in the far zone. The same conservation of angular momentum, continuity of the outflow because plasma moves along the magnetic surfaces, the conservation of mass flow gives us continuity equation. This function eta gives injection rate of injection of the mass into the flow at the base of the flow. And eventually this relation just describes the condition that plasma is frozen into the magnetic field, because each plasma particle moves along the rotating magnetic field like bead on a wire. This gives us a relation between the magnetic field and velocity. All this relation could be manipulated into a single equation which describes Lorentz factor, which connects Lorentz factor and the shape of the tube. So if we know shape of the tube, we know velocity of the flow. This is nothing more than Bernoulli equation as in usual hydrodynamics. The problem is that we do not know shape of the magnetic field light tube. We have also to find this shape of the magnetic field magnetic surfaces from the balance of the transverse force.
Is the causality included in this?
No. It's so not necessary here.
It assumes that everything is causally connected.
No? Not yet. This is just conservation. This is just dynamics. It could be causally connected, could be not. I explain later when it will be causally connected and when not. But this is general. This is just dynamic equation, nothing more. No assumptions. Just assumption of stationarity and assumption that the flow is cold. That's it. This is projection of the dynamic equation of the direction normal to the magnetic surface, which just describes balance of force, magnetic force, electric force, and inertia force. In this case, this is just centrifugal force in the steady state case. And this equation could be manipulated into the second order equation again for psi and gamma, which is called transfield equation, or sometimes Gretsch-Afranov equation, because it is profound generalization of the equation describing a static cylindrical configuration used in the controlled fusion science. These two equations totally describe the flow.
Is velocity the poloidal velocity or the full velocity?
This is full. Gamma is full.
V, vector V.
There is no V here.
Well, in the previous one.
Here, full. Yes, with this equation you could find everything. So here independent variables is psi and gamma. If you find them, you find everything with this algebra. Okay. This is, I think I can skip this boundary condition. The one important thing which people generally, people in the field know this pretty well, but it is not widely known. The dependence of this total, of this integral of energy, this, of psi, how it depends, how total energy varies across the jet. Generally, it is determined by the condition that the flow passes through the light cylinder. But in any case, there is quite general properties that this function becomes very small at the axis of the flow, because at the inlet of the flow, this total energy is determined by the Poynting flux. Poynting flux is determined by the toroidal field, which goes to zero at the axis. Therefore, in any case, toroidal field goes to zero, and therefore Poynting flux in any case goes to zero at the axis. Therefore, total energy flux in the Poynting dominated outflows has a hollow cone distribution. At the axis of the flow, it is always very small. Poynting flux is zero, so it is determined only by the initial kinetic energy, which is small. Overall distribution depends on the distribution of the angular velocity in the flow. Here are numerical simulations for two distributions. Here, angular velocity decreasing with radius, as in a crashing disk, for example. In this case, energy reaches maximum somewhere outside the axis, where angular velocity is still large, and then decreases because slowly rotating parts of the disk produce smaller Poynting flux. And here, outflow with constant angular velocity, outflow created by the rigidly rotating body. In this case, energy flux increases nearly linearly with the radius and reaches maximum at the periphery of the flow. In any case, energy is very small at the axis and reaches maximum somewhere outside the axis. This has profound influence on the shape of the pulsar wind nebula and so on, but this is a general property which is also valid for Poynting dominated jets. Okay, in any case, I assume that this function is known, because it is determined by the process and the inlet of the flow, and try to figure out condition for the total transformation of this energy to the kinetic energy. First of all, let us look at the simple configuration just to elaborate some understanding. The simplest configuration is cylindrical configuration, cylindrical static configuration. No velocity, no electric field. No velocity, therefore no inertia forces, and therefore is governed by the balance between the hoop stress, because toroidal field tries to compress the flow, and the pressure of the poloidal field. There is a variety of solutions to this simple equation, but in any case, just looking at this equation, we see that in this case, poloidal field and toroidal field should be of the same order, which is evident because, again, toroidal field tries to compress the flow, whereas pressure of the poloidal field counterbalance this hoop stress. Now, what happens if plasma moves with highly relativistic velocity? The simplest case, just assume that this configuration just moves upwards with highly relativistic velocity. In this case, we could just make Lorentz transformation. And we see that poloidal field does not change because it is longitudinal field along the velocity upward. Toroidal field increases Lorentz factor times. And the pairs electric field, which is perpendicular to the velocity and the toroidal field, it is directed in this direction. And amplitude of this field is nearly equal to the amplitude of the toroidal field for highly relativistic flow. So already here, this simplest possible configuration, we come to the situation when electric field and toroidal magnetic field much larger than the poloidal field. But here we see that poloidal field could not be neglected, because in this frame of reference, it is the poloidal field that provides equilibrium. This shows that in highly relativistic outflow, you could not just drop small terms. By this reason, you could not just drop also plasma inertia term, even in the highly magnetized outflow. Because what we have to do is to compare these small terms not separately with the hoop stress or electric faults, but with the small residual. And this is very non-trivial. This could not be done straightforwardly. One should look at the equation, at the equations carefully.
Is it because
fundamentally, this is the co-moving toroidal field, which is which is confined.
Yes. But in general case, if there is no co-moving frame where everything is at rest, you could not do such a simple transformation. But physics is this. And now we should do something remaining in the laboratory frame, but working with large terms and small terms, and we could not just drop them. We need carefully look into the equations. Formal reason for such a strange situation when even small terms could not be in principle neglected, even in order to have zero order approximation, is the following. Again, this flow is described by two equations, transfield force balance and Bernoulli equation. In this limit, in the far zone, both these equations are reduced to the same condition. So the system, the set of equations becomes degenerate. And that is why we could not just drop all small terms and remain with what remained there. We have to take into account small terms. Therefore, the procedure of obtaining asymptotic equation is not so simple, but nevertheless, one could eventually find asymptotic equations that do not contain small scales and do not contain terms which nearly cancel each other. These equations are not very simple, but at least I could write them down in the transparencies because general equations are too long. This equation describes the shape of the magnetic surfaces. It's easier to use as a known function, radius as a function of z at any psi. And Bernoulli equation is very simple and connects this shape with the Lorentz factor of the flow, and transfield force balance describes the shape of the magnetic surfaces. I think that these equations could be easily solved numerically because there are no different scales, no terms which nearly cancel each other, but even analytically they could be solved in all appropriate limits, and therefore one can find analytically appropriate scalings. Okay, this I skip. Let us first of all analyze the transfield equation. This is transfield equation. A little bit simplified, this is correct, not very close to the axis. Now the axis we could consider structure of the flow separately and match to the total structure of the flow. We see that equation looks very simple, and there are only three terms. Each of these terms has no simple physical interpretation, but we could get some physical insight if consider different limiting cases. Let us compare these two terms. If look here, radius in the denominator in the power cube. If jet is very narrow, this term dominate this, and one can let us drop this term, and then we can come to the one-dimensional equation, which is described by only by derivatives in the direction transverse to the direction of motion of the jet. This equation, in fact, describes local cylindrical equilibrium configuration. This means that jet expands in reality, but each distance from the radius, its structure is the same as the structure of the appropriate cylindrical configuration. It could be easily found. And in this case, jet expands, I would say, adiabatically. At any distance from the source, it adjusts itself to the appropriate cylindrical equilibrium configuration. In this case, just looking at these terms, we could find that Lorentz factor of the flow grows proportionally to the radius of the jet. So if jet expands, Lorentz factor of the flow grows. This scaling was reopened many times from 70s in different situations, but only now we could find a proper condition when this scaling is correct. Important point now called causality. One can check that in this condition, the jet remains in causal connection. so that this is the proper propagation time, and for this time, the signal from the outer part of the jet has time to reach axis of the jet or opposite. So this is evident because this is natural because this is connection necessary for jet to come to the equilibrium. So jet remains in the equilibrium if this condition is fulfilled. So in opposite, in another word, if jet remains within this parabola, it is equilibrium. It is described by simple cylindrical equilibrium configuration, and Lorentz factor of the flow grows linearly with radius of the jet. The faster jet expands, the faster Lorentz factor grows. But if jet expands too fast, it goes out of this regime. Now let us consider opposite case when this term dominates. This is, term dominates if jet is wide, so the radius of the jet is larger than radius of this parabola. In this case, one comes to equation which could be directly obtained neglecting the poloidal magnetic field. So in this case, the flow could be considered as consisting from separate magnetic loops, just moving with the flow. And this flow is not in the causal connection. By this reason, hoop stress of this magnetic field loop could not compress the these loops to the axis, because like in the expanding universe, gravitational instability does not work at the scale larger than horizon. In this case also, because opposite points are causally disconnected, in spite of the fact that total force is directed towards the axis, the flow expands. Yeah.
Is the reason why this is not kink instable, the flow?
This flow, do you mean kink instability? This flow, because it's causally disconnected, it could not suffer from global instabilities, of course. But instability is even in equilibrium case, it's rather slowly, but it's a separate story. What? This is partial case of split monopole, is partial case of the non-equilibrium regime. Yeah. Yes. In this case, one can find simple scaling for Lorentz factor of the flow, and again, only in this regime, flow is causally disconnected. So these regimes depend on the shape of the magnetic field surfaces, and this shape is determined by the distribution of outer pressure. In order to find how the shape of the magnetic field surface depends on the outer pressure, let us assume that outer pressure decreases as a power law. Then solving this asymptotic equation, one comes to the following result. If pressure decreases faster than distance squared, so this kappa is less than 2, the flow remains within this parabola. So the flow remains in the equilibrium regime, and radius of the flow increases proportional to the distance in some power, which is less than 1/2. The slower decreases outer pressure, the slower jet expands. And correspondingly, the slower it is accelerated, because this regime works in the equilibrium jet. Total distance for the necessary for the total conversion of the Poynting flux to the kinetic energy is determined by the maximal Lorentz factor. This is pretty large. Again, the larger kappa, the faster decreases outer pressure, the faster acceleration. However, this regime works only if kappa less than 2. So the maximal acceleration is achieved when pressure decreases as 1 over distance squared. And for this case, this limiting this distance of the energy transformation is about maximal Lorentz factor squared. As an example, one can estimate that for GRB parameters, this distance is very large and marginally consistent with the assumption that the jet is confined within the envelope of the star. Another problem for this regime, that in this regime, flow remains causally connected. However, GRB people claim that GRB jets are causally disconnected. In opposite case, they could not describe after blue light curves, statistics, and all that. So this regime could not work in the GRB case, but in principle, this is presumably it works in, could work in AGNs. Again, it works if outer pressure decreases relatively slowly. Let us consider opposite case. Okay, this is example. I could skip this. This is intermediate case, which is also some exotics. Let us consider the case when outer pressure decreases faster than distance squared. In this case, flow becomes asymptotically radial. So eventually it becomes it acquires conical shape. However, initially, the initial stage, it could be collimated if this kappa is not very large as compared with the two, and therefore, if pressure decreases with the distance a bit faster than distance squared, we could obtain highly collimated outflow with the opening angle, which is determined by the parameters of the confining pressure. This opening angle could be pretty small. It depends on the rate of the decreasing of the outer pressure. And we see that if this index is between 2 and 3, we can get highly collimated outflow. If it is larger than 3, outflow remains very wide. So this describes transition from the confined to non-confined flows. Now about Lorentz factor in this case, it grows, but not till the generally not till the maximal Lorentz factor. Generally, flow stops accelerating at the terminal Lorentz factor, which is determined by the maximal Lorentz factor and opening and angle of the flow. Of course, this terminal Lorentz factor could not be larger than maximal, so flow could reach such a flow could reach maximal Lorentz factor, so energy could be efficiently transferred. But only at some range of parameters. If initial pointing flux is very high, the flow is accelerated only till the terminal Lorentz factor and remained radial and pointing dominated. This scaling provides again a generalization of the scaling known for the non-confined flow, when we know that terminal Lorentz factor in this case is maximal Lorentz factor in the power 1/3. Now this generalizes this finding. This is consistent with this finding for non-confined flows, because in this case opening L is unity. If opening L is less, terminal Lorentz factor is larger, as it should be. Again, in this case, the flow becomes causally disconnected. So in principle, pointing dominated flow could be collimated into the jets, which are causally disconnected, which is necessary to describe GRB jets, but such jets remain pointing dominated. Therefore, in this case, we have to think about eventual energy conversion into the to the plasma, about some sort of dissipation or something like this. So it is impossible in pointing dominated jets to get outflow which is highly collimated, which is eventually matter dominated, and which is at the same time is causally disconnected. Okay, I think this is could be skipped. This is again some details. Some formal conclusion. This theory describes all sorts of behavior of pointing dominated outflows confined by the prescribed in external pressure. General conclusion that we need confinement in order to obtain collimated outflow, and in order to get significant acceleration of the flow, significant transformation of the pointing flux into the kinetic energy of the flow. If outer pressure decreases faster than distance squared, in this case, eventually the energy is totally, or I would say more carefully, the equipartition is reached, and the flow becomes highly collimated and highly relativistic. If this index is between 2 and 3, we could obtain well collimated outflow, but this outflow is still generally Poynting dominated. So significant fraction of the Poynting flux remains intact. And if outer pressure decreases faster than about the distance in the third power, such jets behave as a non-confined jets, as it should be. In any case, efficient acceleration, so if we want to reach maximal Lorentz factor, this is possible only if flows remain causally connected. And in again, for all these cases, acceleration zone spans a very large range of scales, therefore the characteristic distance is very large, and we have to maintain the necessary outer pressure distribution all the way if we want the flow to be accelerated. Therefore, some informal conclusion is the following. In principle, in the scope of ideal MHD, one could efficiently convert Poynting flux into the kinetic energy of the flow. However, conditions, we now know this condition explicitly, rather strong, and therefore one could expect that in a real system some sort of dissipation should work. Of course, this condition for dissipation, for magnetic dissipation, are also non-trivial, but this is a separate story, therefore I would like to stop now. Thank you very much.
Yeah, if you have a jet that goes into a pre-existing medium, but let's say the pressure is not exactly what you want it to be, wouldn't this jet deposit some energy into the surrounding medium by some boundary instability that could potentially adjust the pressure in the surrounding medium just to be exactly right to call it? Is there some feedback possible that would...
In principle, it is possible. Okay, this is a steady state solution, so in this case, I can only speculate. Of course, interaction between the outer medium and the jet is important. However, I think that in real case, there is no such situation when there is a jet transferring most of the energy just surrounding by the outer medium. Generally, jet, which is produced by a rotating black hole, is surrounded by the slower rotating outflow from the disk, where energy is not very large. And all this system is confined by the outer medium. Therefore, only this relatively low energy outflow has a direct contact with the outer medium. Therefore, if, for example, flow is causally disconnected, internal flow doesn't know anything about what happens at the boundary. At some specific cases, when jet is very narrow, which means that outer pressure decreases very slowly, of course, some feedback is possible. But this should be studied for any specific situation.
I presume you have to break MHD at the base of the jet just to get material onto the field lines in the first place.
What does mean break MHD?
Well, I mean, if the material is completely frozen onto the field, the field line's going to empty. And how do you replenish it at the base of the jet?
At the base, if, as in, for example, in case of, I don't know, the simplest case, or not simplest, okay, in pulsar, if there is no matter, there is vacuum, plasma is produced.
Yes.
Okay. In case of accretion disk, where is a thermal flow, there is some thermal wind, yes, which feeds the outflow, because again, vacuum is impossible. So we need only a handful of particles in order to provide MHD condition. It's very easy.
You can ask the question, you don't need any breaking of MHD, there's what's called a slow-mo critical point.
Yeah, this, if it's plasma is thermal, yeah.
A rarefaction wave, which works like an acoustic wave in the regular wave.
This is thermal wind.
Speed across at the slow-mo velocity.
But this is thermal wind.
And it should be. You can move along the field lines.
Yeah.
parking.
In the case of thermal wind, you should substitute dependence of thermal pressure.
Yeah, but I'm considering far zone, of course. This is well beyond all these critical points. I'm considering far zone. It's very far from this injection point.
Yeah, but I mean that...
Completely, yes. I should take into account all these critical points and everything. But it should be done separately. Because the scales are well separated.
What number of K which describes external pressure, yeah?
No, external pressure is a separate thing.
Yeah, for wind, for example, you have some dependence. If you have this... disk wind, which produces...
People talk about wind feeding the jet. Yeah. If outer confinement produced by external wind, one can estimate the appropriate pressure profile, of course.
And what is this pressure profile? As external density, you could have either gas pressure or magnetic field pressure. So with a relativistic outflow surrounded by a non-relativistic outflow, but by non-relativistic force field. What this example would mean physically? So you need this in order to get very efficient acceleration. You need the situation when the pressure falls not
very rapidly. Yes.
So what would it mean in terms of equation kick theory?
Again, it is a question of what is the origin of this wind. If this is external magnetic field, this means that I need to distribution of the current in the disk, which produce a magnetic field, colloidal magnetic field, with pressure decreasing as I wish. I doubt that somebody could now calculate self-consistently distribution of this large-scale magnetic field in the disk.
For example, standard spherically symmetric wind.
No. In spherically symmetric wind, nothing happens. You need disk.
What gives a Blenkovian pain solution?
I don't remember. I should look at this.
If matter is correlating with the field within the alphane point, and
with him, yes,
centrifugal velocity projected, if the centrifugal force in the rotating frame exceeds gravity, then the matter flies out.
No, that's okay, but the question is about the distribution of the pressure of this magnetic field. The question is about the distribution of the pressure of this colloidal magnetic field. Mm-hmm. In the wind.
What do they provide?
What?
There are some self-similar solution for the magnetic pressure for accretion.
Okay.
What do they provide? Could they calimate the central flow or not?
Yes, because they are self-similar, they do calimate, yes. But again, self-similar, here this is a matter of numbers. And self-similar solutions are maybe good to understand some physics, but one should be very careful to use these numbers. Of course, self-similar solution calimates. Yes, of course.
But you have a similar solution up to some internal boundary, and here you have a different solution.
What does it mean different? If I choose some different distribution of angular velocity, yes. But again, this could be done. I haven't done this. But it depends on what happens at the base of the flow. But the problem is that distribution of parameters with the distance with the radius in the real winds are different from those in self-similar outflows.
Constrained by Kepler
law. All the angular velocity, but the amount of matter and so on. So one has to know the
distribution is constrained.
Not so strongly. It depends by diffusion. Depends on the diffusion of the colloidal magnetic field.
Yeah.
The only condition you need the distribution of the field such that total magnetic flux diverge with the radius of the disk. This is condition for the colloidal field to collimate the internal flow.
But that's the equation. If the flow from the accretion disk is not collimated, does it mean that you could not have a collimated flow from the from just the central part?
What's not collimated? The flow from the disk is anyway not spheric. This is enough. For example, it could be, I don't know, cylindrical, something like this. So, if the distance is less than the outer radius of disk, this outflow is not spherical. And this means that it somehow compressed the central part of the flow.
Yeah, okay.
The question is how? This, again, this is a quantitative question, not qualitative.
Maybe we should thank you again. Thank you.
Thank you.